And now, Chapter 27, Prayers by Indra, the King of Heaven. When Krishna saved the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra by lifting Govardhan Hill, a Surabhi cow from Goloka Vrindavan, as well as King Indra from the heavenly planet, appeared before him. Indra, the King of Heaven, was conscious of his offense before Krishna. Therefore, he stealthily appeared before him from a secluded place. He immediately fell down at the lotus feet of Krishna, although his own crown was dazzling like sunshine. Indra knew about the exalted position of Krishna, because Krishna is the master of Indra, but he could not believe that Krishna could come down and live in Vrindavan among the cowherd men. When Krishna defied the authority of Indra, Indra became angry because he thought that he was all in all within this universe and that no one was as powerful as he. But after this incident, his false, puffed-up prestige was destroyed. Being conscious of his subordinate position, he appeared before Krishna with folded hands and began to offer the following prayers. My dear Lord, Indra said, being puffed up by my false prestige, I thought that you had offended me by not allowing the cowherd men to perform the Indra Yajna, and I thought that you wanted to enjoy the offerings that were arranged for the sacrifice. I thought that in the name of a Govardhan sacrifice, you were taking my share of profit, and therefore I mistook your position. Now, by your grace, I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord, personality of Godhead, and that you are transcendental to all the material qualities. Your transcendental position is the Shuddha Sattvam, which is above the platform of the material mode of goodness. And your transcendental abode is beyond the disturbance of the material qualities. Your name, fame, form, quality, and pastimes are all beyond this material nature, and they are never disturbed by the three material modes. Your abode is accessible only for one who undergoes severe austerities and penances, and who is completely freed from the onslaught of material qualities like passion and ignorance. If someone thinks that when you come within this material world, you accept the modes of material nature, he is mistaken. The webs of the material qualities are never able to touch you, and you certainly do not accept them when you are present within this world. Your lordship is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. My dear Lord, you are the original father of this cosmic manifestation. You are the supreme spiritual master of this cosmic world, and you are the original proprietor of everything. As eternal time, you are competent to chastise offenders. Within this material world, there are many fools, like myself, who consider themselves to be the supreme Lord, or the all-in-all within the universe. You are so merciful that without punishing their offenses, you devise means so that their false prestige is subdued, and they can know that you, and none else, are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Father, the Supreme Spiritual Master, and the Supreme King. Therefore, you have the right to chastise all living entities whenever there is any discrepancy in their behavior. The Father, the Spiritual Master, and the Supreme Executive Officer of the State are always well-wishers of their sons, their students, and their citizens, respectively. As such, the well-wishers have the right to chastise their dependents. By your own desire, you appear auspiciously on the earth in your eternal varieties of forms. You come to glorify the earthly planet, and specifically to chastise persons who are falsely claiming to be God. In the material world, there is regular competition between different types of living entities to become supreme leaders of society. And after being frustrated in achieving the supreme position of leadership, foolish persons claim to be God, the supreme personality. There are many such foolish personalities in the world, like me. But in due course of time, when they come to their senses, they surrender unto you, and again engage themselves properly by rendering service unto you. And that is the purpose of your chastising persons envious of you. My dear Lord, I committed a great offense unto your lotus feet, being falsely proud of my material opulences, not knowing your unlimited power. Therefore, my Lord, kindly excuse me, because I am fool number one. Kindly give me your blessings, so that I may not act so foolishly again. If you think, my Lord, that the offense is very great and cannot be excused, then I appeal to you that I am your eternal servant. Your appearance in this world is to give protection to your eternal servants and to destroy the demons who maintain great military strength just to burden the very existence of the earth. As I am your eternal servant, kindly excuse me. My dear Lord, you are the supreme personality of Godhead. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because you are the supreme person and the supreme soul. You are the son of Vasudev, and you are the supreme Lord, Krishna, the master of all pure devotees. Please accept my prostrated obeisances. You are the personification of supreme knowledge. You can appear anywhere according to your desire in any one of your eternal forms. You are the root of all creation and the supreme soul of all living entities. Due to my gross ignorance, I created a great disturbance in Vrindavan by sending torrents of rain and a heavy hailstorm. I acted out of severe anger, caused by your stopping the sacrifice, which was to be held to satisfy me. But my dear Lord, you are so kind to me that you have bestowed your mercy upon me by destroying all my false pride. I therefore take shelter unto your lotus feet. My dear Lord, you are not only the supreme controller, but also the spiritual master of all living entities. Thus praised by Indra, Lord Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, smiling beautifully, said, "My dear Indra, I have stopped your sacrifice just to show my causeless mercy and to revive your memory that I am your eternal master. I am not only your master, but the master of all the other demigods as well. You should always remember that all your material opulences are due to my mercy. Everyone should always remember that I am the Supreme Lord. I can show anyone my favor, and I can chastise anyone, because no one is superior to me. If I find someone overpowered by false pride, in order to show him my causeless mercy, I withdraw all his opulences." It is noteworthy that Krishna sometimes removes all opulences in order to facilitate a rich man's becoming a soul surrendered to him. This is a special favor of the Lord's. Sometimes it is seen that a person is very opulent materially, but due to his devotional service to the Lord, he may be reduced to poverty. One should not think, however, that because he worshiped the Supreme Lord, He became poverty-stricken. The real purport is that when a person is a pure devotee, but at the same time, by miscalculation, he wants to lord it over material nature, the Lord shows his special mercy by taking away all material opulences until at last he surrenders unto the Supreme Lord. After instructing Indra, Lord Krishna asked him to return to his kingdom in the heavenly planet and to remember always that he is never the supreme, but is always subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also advised him to remain as King of Heaven, but to be careful of false pride. After this, the transcendental Surabhi cow, who also came with Indra to see Krishna, offered her respectful obeisances unto him and worshipped him. The Surabhi offered her prayer as follows. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the most powerful of all mystic yogis, because you are the soul of the complete universe, and only from you has all this cosmic manifestation taken place. Therefore, although Indra tried his best to kill my descendant cows in Vrindavan, they remained under your shelter, and you have protected them all so well. We do not know anyone else as the Supreme, nor do we go to any other god or demigods for protection. Therefore, you are our Indra. You are the Supreme Father of the whole cosmic manifestation, and you are the protector and elevator of all the cows, Brahmins, demigods, and others who are pure devotees of your lordship. O super soul of the universe, let us bathe you with our milk, because you are our Indra. O Lord, you appear just to diminish the burden of impure activities on the earth. In this way, Krishna was bathed by the milk of the Surabhi cow, and Indra was bathed by the water of the celestial Ganges through the trunk of his carrier elephant. After this, the heavenly king Indra, along with Surabhi cows and all other demigods and their mothers, worshipped Lord Krishna by bathing him with Ganges water and the milk of the Surabhis. Thus Govinda, Lord Krishna, was pleased with all of them. The residents of all higher planetary systems, such as Gandharvaloka, Vidyadharaloka, Siddhaloka, and Charanaloka, all combined and began to glorify the Lord by chanting his holy name. Their wives and damsels began to dance with great joy. They very much satisfied the Lord by incessantly pouring flowers from the sky. When everything was very nicely and joyfully settled, the cows overflooded the surface of the earth with their milk. The water of the rivers began to flow and give nourishment to the trees, producing fruits and flowers of different colors and taste. The trees began to pour drops of honey. The hills and mountains began to produce potent medicinal plants and valuable stones. Because of Krishna's presence, all these things happened very nicely, and the lower animals, who were generally envious, were envious no longer. After satisfying Krishna, who is the lord of all the cows in Vrindavan, and who is known as Govinda, King Indra took his permission to return to his heavenly kingdom. He was surrounded by all kinds of demigods who passed with him through cosmic space. This great incident is a powerful example of how Krishna consciousness can benefit the world. Even the lower animals forget their envious nature and become elevated to the qualities of the demigods. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 27th chapter of Krishna, Prayers by Indra, the King of Heaven.